Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, bonus episode 151, The Anointing Part 1. Guest minister Alejandro Arias delivered this teaching in Fort Wayne, Indiana on October 10th, 2020.
Praise Jesus, because you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and you're coming back soon.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. You can be seated for just a second. So the word says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers. The responsibility is to equip God's people to do the work, to do his work, and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until all come into the unity of our faith and to the knowledge of God's Son, so that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So this morning we have with us one of the gifts that God has put in the church, the gift of the evangelist especially, and possibly some other giftings that he has in his life, but that's his primary function. So we're expecting to receive this morning. One of the reasons that we have different giftings speak into the church is to speak into our lives, to receive impartation, to receive from the anointing that God has placed on their lives. And so we're in expectation today to receive in a mighty way the blessing of God. So we welcome you, Evangelist Alejandro Arias, and a couple of other names that I can't remember.
Bless you. Thank you.
We welcome you to freedom.
Amen. Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Praise God. What a beautiful morning.
Yes.
It is indeed beautiful, isn't it?
Amen.
I was not expecting this nice weather. I was getting ready for the cold. I brought my winter coat. Very thick winter coat that I bought in Melbourne. Because Melbourne, as you know, is very cold. Melbourne, Australia is really cold in the winter. And so I was expecting that kind of cold weather. And when I had stepped off the plane and, you know, went outside, I'm like, wow, it's so warm. Anyway, I'm enjoying it. God is good. You know, God is so good. And I'm enjoying to be back on the road. It's been 6 months. It's been the longest sabbatical I've had in 21 years of ministry. I never wanted to have a sabbatical in my life of 6 months. Never. I'm like, God, you know, I'm not the right candidate for that. Because I'm itching to go to the nations. And, you know, from March all the way to the first week of October, I mean, or last week of September, we were just waiting on God, praying, asking the Lord, is it time yet? Is it time yet? And I don't know if you guys know, but Australia has one of the, probably the strictest quarantine regulations in the world right now. You're not allowed to leave the country unless you get a special permit. And you're not allowed to come back in unless you are a resident or a citizen. And if you are going back, you have to go into hotel quarantine for 14 days and you have to pay it out of your own pocket. And it's $3,000 for an individual, $5,000 for a whole family. So 14 days mandatory quarantine in a government designated location. So, which is a nice hotel, basically. It's a 5-star hotel, but you have to pay for it. You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, that's what they're doing right now. And to leave the country, you have to get a special permit, which is very difficult to obtain. You have to go through the government channels. You have to, like, justify, you know, the reason why you want to depart in the midst of a pandemic, as they call it. I call it a plandemic. You know? It's scandemic. I mean, you have all these different names, you know, for this pandemic, right? And fear-demic, whatever you want to call it, right? So anyway, I applied the first time, didn't get it. The second time, I applied, and I was hoping for a breakthrough. It didn't happen, and this was in August or In September, I felt in my spirit it was time to reapply after fasting for 21 days. I decided to seek the Lord, you know, and I said, I'm just going to pray because I know prayer is the only thing that can break the seals. It can break the chains. It can break, you know, the log pads. If there's anything that can do it, it's prayer. Amen?
Amen.
So I decided to pray and pray for 21 days. And after 21 days, I remember I was at, you know, I was sitting behind my computer and in my home studio, and I was praying, and the Lord just put this thought in my heart, why don't you apply now? And it was like 11 p.m., and I said, oh, I'm just going to do it for the sake of applying, you know? You never know. It takes like 25 minutes to fill out the blessed form because it's like six pages, you know? You just got to take all these boxes and provide all these, you know, details. Anyway, so I went ahead and applied. 48 hours later, to my surprise, I got the exemption. I got the breakthrough, you know? So after praying for 21 days, I get the breakthrough. And then God just opened so many doors in 2 weeks and put this itinerary together. And I called, you know, Pastor Harley, and I say, hey, I'm going back to the States, you know? And this was all put together in 2 weeks. So I'm so thankful because the Lord has prepared this time, and He has opened so many doors, and I'm going to be preaching almost the whole month of October and part of November, and I'm excited. I'm believing that the harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. Well, I was driving from Indianapolis to Fort Wayne, and I saw the harvest, you know, the fields, the corn fields. The Lord spoke to me in an audible voice. How many of you have heard the Lord speaking to you in an audible voice, you know? How many of you have heard that before? The audible voice of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord spoke to me. As I'm driving, God said, the harvest is here. This is a time for harvest. The cornfields, you see, what it is in the natural, it is also in the spiritual realm. Because what I'm doing right now is I'm preparing the greatest harvest in America. Hallelujah. And when I heard that, my spirit got so excited, you know, I wanted to jump out of the car and celebrate. Praise God. This is harvest time. Why don't you tell your neighbor, this is harvest time. So God, you know, is preparing an army of saints. He's recruiting people like you and me, who are not afraid of a pandemic.
Hallelujah.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
He's recruiting you right now.
Yes.
The Lord is recruiting His saints, people that are ready to stand up in the midst of these challenges and make a difference. And that's what I believe. You know, when people heard that we were coming here, Australians, you know, think that because we're getting it, we're being fed in the news that, you know, people are dropping dead every 30 seconds, you know, like, you know, thousands of people are dying every day. And, you know, it's like this pandemic is, you know, everywhere. And that's the image you have because of the media. The media is projecting an image that people are dropping dead everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So people hear that you're bringing your daughters and your wife to a place where people are dropping dead, then, you know, you get phone calls and emails and people are concerned. It's like, what are you doing? Are you sure this is from the Lord? I'm like, yeah, it's going to be fine. You know, God's got His angels protecting us.
Amen.
And anyway, so far I haven't seen anyone dropping dead.
Praise God.
Yes. And if they do, we just have to raise them up. Amen? We just have to pray for them. Amen? So it's been a fun trip. It's been a really nice trip, long trip, but it's been wonderful. It's good to be back in the swing of things. It's good to be back in this ministry. And I love, this is my passion. I love teaching the saints. I love ministering in churches all over the world. I love just equipping the body of Christ and doing, you know, what I do, crusades, camp meetings. I love just sharing the gospel all over the world. So being in a lockdown was not easy. was not easy. But the Lord provided, and I was actually assigned, the Lord gave me, when you are in His will and when you are in a place, when you are obeying the Lord, God's always going to keep you doing something. So you got connected with a local church and they decided that, my wife and I were just the perfect candidates to step into the associate pastoral role in their church. I'm jet lagged. And anyway, so we became the associate pastors of this beautiful church in downtown Brisbane. And God is just moving, and we've been doing the Wednesday night services. So I've been preaching all along. It's been amazing. It's been really good. And we have seen the Lord moving His hand, touching and healing the sick. So it's not like I've been sitting at home, you know what I'm saying? I've been doing stuff for the kingdom. But it's good to be back on the road. Amen?
Amen.
So let's talk about the anointing. I love this subject, the anointing. This is my favorite subject. And we're going to open our Bibles in the book of Exodus, chapter 30, verse 31 through verse 33. So good to be back in this beautiful church. It's good to see what God is doing. Praise God. I had a really good flight from Orlando to Chicago. It's great. I slept the whole way. The second flight wasn't that great. They packed us like sardines. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, where is the evidence of the pandemic? Seriously. Like, they're packing people like, they're dropping the flight prices. They want people to buy tickets. They want people to fly. But there is no concept of social distancing, right? Because when you are in an airplane, you're in close proximity with people. And doesn't matter if they have their mask on. And that's another thing. It was almost like a wake-up call to see everyone wearing a mask. In Australia, the mask thing hasn't really taken off. People are not doing it. It's more like a choice. If you want to, fine. If you don't want to, then that's fine, too. But here, when we got to L.A., we started walking around the airport in L.A. We saw everybody wearing a mask. And we got reminded probably once or twice, hey, put your mask on. I'm like, oh, okay, we're back, So we got to do this. So I have my mask, and yeah, I'm carrying it. But I love to carry the anointing more than a mask, I can tell you that. Anyway, yesterday I had an interesting experience. The second flight, I had to sit on the edge of my seat for 45 minutes and no comments beyond that. I had to sit on the edge of my seat. I'm telling, literally, I had no room left. I had to sit like almost, like I had to like face the other passengers on this side. You know what I'm saying, right? So I'm just trying to be sensible here, okay? Anyway, yeah, somebody was occupying my seat, so. Anyway, the Bible says... Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyways, Exodus chapter 30, verse 22. The Bible says, the Lord said to Moses, take the finest spices of liquid myrrh, 500 shekels, and sweet smelling cinnamon, half a smudge. That is 250, and 250 of aromatic cane, and 500 of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make of these a sacred anointing oil, blended as by the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tent of meeting, verse 26, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all its utensils, and the lampstand, and its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the altar of the burnt offering, with all its utensils, and the basin, and its stand. And you shall consecrate them, that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them will become holy. Wow, whatever touches them will become holy. Now let's talk about the first ingredient. I love the anointing. The anointing is God's precious treasure. The anointing is only given to those who pursue it. The anointing can be passed and given to, but the anointing is something that you have to individually pursue. It's not something that you can actually receive it by touching something. Like some people say, can I touch your Bible and maybe I can receive a transfer of your anointing? It doesn't work like that. Because behind every anointed man of God and woman of God, there is a legacy of prayer. There is a legacy. There is a prize. There is a journey. And that journey often has been painful. So the question is, are you willing to pay the price? The anointing is not cheap. The anointing has no price, but it's not cheap. And when I say the anointing is not cheap, I mean the anointing is priceless. The anointing is going to require your whole life. You got to surrender everything. You got to die to yourself. You got to die to your ego, die to your pride. You know, you got to die to your emotions and your flesh, and you got to die to a lot of things. And just like the five virgins, ones were, you know, the five that were ready and had their lamps filled with oil, the Holy Spirit is calling His church and the leaders in this time and generation to have an overflow. God is calling us to have an overflow. So I want to talk about the anointing oil, because I think it's very important to understand this. The holy anointing oil, in Hebrew, Shemen HaMishah, oil of anointing, formed an integral part of the ordination of the priesthood and the high priest as well. As in the consecration of the articles of the tabernacle. So you just read Exodus chapter 30, verse 26, and subsequent the temples in Jerusalem. The primary purpose of the anointing oil was to sanctify, to set aside a person, object, or, you know, a building, to set it aside, to set it apart. Originally, the oil was used exclusively for the priests and the tabernacle articles, but its use was later extended to include kings, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. It was forbidden to be used on an outsider, Exodus chapter 30, verse 33, or to be used on the body of any common person, Exodus chapter 30, verse 32, and the Israelites were forbidden to duplicate any like it for themselves. So the anointing oil was really special. And this is where I'm getting to. God has given you and entrusted you with an anointing oil that is so special. When you receive it, that means that you are chosen. You're set aside. You're set apart. This anointing oil is not for the commoners. It's not for, you know, this anointing oil is for people like you. We are kingdom people. Come on.
Amen.
How many of you are kingdom royalty in the house? So when you understand your God-given identity and your God-given, you know, destiny, you understand that the anointing oil was meant for you, for your ministry, for your leadership, for your gifting. You know, it's the anointing oil that will keep things going. The anointing oil is what's going to keep you moving, what's going to keep you fresh, what's going to keep you up to date, what's going to keep you strong, what's going to keep you in good shape. The anointing oil. You know, this is what we need in this, in the midst of this pandemic.
Yes.
I know a lot of people are taking vitamin C and zinc and they're, you know, dosing on different things, but we need the anointing oil more than ever. Because I believe the enemy is not going to mess with the anointed.
Amen.
If you keep bleeding the blood of Jesus,
yes,
and you keep being sensible and keep doing the right things, God is going to bless you and honor you.
Amen.
And I'm not saying don't take your vitamin C. I'm taking it. It's fine.
Amen.
You know, take your orange juice, take your vitamin C, take zinc all you can. That's fine. But make sure your cup is overflowing with the anointing oil.
Amen.
Because in these times, we need to have anointing oil like oozing out of us. Why? Because the devil is out there looking for someone to destroy. The devil is really trying his best to knock people down, to bring ministries down. But the anointing oil is what's going to make you stand out. is going to make you stand out. You are going to be different, and you're going to be a different leader and a different kingdom leader because you carry the anointing oil. You're set aside. I want you to say it with me. I'm set aside.
Set apart.
Chosen.
Anointed.
That's my identity.
Hallelujah.
How many of you have received that identity? That's my identity. I'm set aside. I'm anointed. I'm chosen. That's my identity. So, what type of oil? The anointing oil was special, and only the chosen people were allowed to experience it. How many of you have bought anointing oil before? Like not olive oil, but the anointing oil, the one that has the ingredients. I mean, if you put it on your skin, it's almost like perfume. It smells so nice, right? Oh, it's delicious. It's beautiful. The smell is amazing, right? And I wish that every church, everyone, has that anointing oil, and they pray for you with that anointing oil. Well, I had experiences where they didn't use the anointing oil. They used literally cooking oil, And one time they had an anointing service, and they called me forward, and they were going to pray for me, and they opened the bottle of oil. I was on my knees, and I thought, yeah, they're just going to, pour a little bit, pour a hint. They let the bottle loose, like they completely just saturated me in cooking oil. It was powerful, but it stunk. Like cooking oil. You know what I'm saying? So it was an amazing experience. But then how do you get rid of cooking oil? It just ruins your clothing. It ruins your buy fancy jeans and buy fancy suit and buy. My tie was all wet and oily. Anyway, it was not a nice experience. But I saw that, in especially ministering in South America, I saw pastors literally grabbing the oil and like spilling it on people. And it didn't matter if the chairs were fancy. Buy chairs, buy clothing, buy everything, because the cooking oil will stain anything. And it's hard to get rid of that stain, right? I literally saw it. I saw people like pouring bottles on people like, come receive anointing oil, I literally saw it with my eyes. And I went, and by the way, if you are being anointed with cooking oil, you better close your eyes. Because if you don't close your eyes, it's going to sting. It's going to sting. It's going to give you an allergy. It's awful. Right? So people sometimes in their ignorance, they want to do it. They think that the more oil they put on you, that you're, you are more anointed somehow. But as the anointing oil is a symbolism. You don't have to pour it on people. It's just a symbolism. And so when I ask people, when you pray for someone, just use a little bit of oil. Put it on your fingertips and just pray for them. You're not literally, the anointing oil is just a vehicle. The Holy Spirit is going to use that. But what really matters is what you carry in your heart. If you carry the anointing, and if the anointing oil is overflowing in your heart, then you're going to see miracles. Then you're going to see signs and wonders. No matter how much oil you have in a bottle, and if you carry it everywhere, it doesn't matter. You got to carry it in your heart. Because you can carry the anointing oil in your purse. You can carry it, you can carry it anywhere. But if you don't have it in your heart, hello, then it makes no difference, right? The Bible says, and you shall say to the people of Israel, this shall be my holy anointing oil throughout your generations, and it shall not be poured on the body of an ordinary person. Listen to this. Verse 30, Exodus chapter 30, verse 31 through verse 33, and you shall say to the people of Israel, this shall be my holy anointing oil throughout your generations, and it shall not be poured on the body of an ordinary person. That means when you are anointed, that makes you an extraordinary person. Oh, isn't that awesome? Yes. That makes you extraordinary. And so that means you have to lean on God's economy. You have to lean and trust on God's supernatural resources. You are anointed for such a time as this. And so when you are anointed, your economy, your provision comes from the Lord. Amen. You don't operate in the world's economy. You operate in heaven's economy. And when you operate in heaven's economy, you are going to see miracles even in the midst of a pandemic. Amen. You know, I had a lady last Wednesday. She came to one of our services in Florida. She had her face shield, the mask on. You know, she came forward. She was under the anointing. But, you know, it was funny to see this. I mean, it was hilarious. You know, she had her face shield, mask on. She was terrified, right? And the pastor cautioned me. The pastor said, don't lay hands on people, you know. Don't lay hands on people. Because if you lay hands on people and we have a, if someone reports it to the media or if it leaks, then we can get a fine. You know, you can come blow in, blow out, but then we get a $100,000 fine. And then you're not going to pay it. We have to pay it. Like, yeah, I understand where you're coming from, you know. It's quite a hefty fine, $100,000. But I guess he was trying to kind of, like, scare me. I don't think it's $100,000. Anyway, he's like, don't lay hands on people. And when you come inside the building, have your mask. Please tell your wife and your children to keep their mask on. So this is in Florida, I'm telling you, folks. So, and this is an Assemblies of God church. This is not a Baptist church. This is an Assemblies of God church. You know what I'm saying? So we're walking into this church. We had our masks on, you know? And the pastor said, take it off. When you get to the first row, just take it off. And, you know, when you praise and worship, that's fine. The virus will stop there anyway. That's fine. I'll take it off and that's fine. So, as you can see, I'm just having fun with this virus. Anyway, I get to the first row, I take it off, and then I preach, and then I have this altar call, and God begins to move. A lot of people begin to get healed. And this lady came forward, and she had a brace around her hand, and the Lord just spoke to me in a clear manner, and the Lord said, I want you to just cast out the spirit of fear, and I want you to pray for her, and I want you to just lay hands on her. She's going to experience a miracle. This is amazing. You know, she came forward. She had a handkerchief. She wanted me to lay hands on the handkerchief, you know, and pray for the handkerchief because her sister had cancer. So she had faith for her sister. She didn't have faith for her because she had the face shield and all the, you know, all the equipment. You know what I'm saying? She was fully equipped. She had all the gear on. You know what I'm saying? She had the face shield, the mask, everything. Yet she brings me a handkerchief. And I'm thinking, hello? If I lay hands on the handkerchief, that is a point of transmission. And if I'm infectious and I lay hands on the handkerchief, guess what? The handkerchief is going to catch the blessed COVID. But thank God, the handkerchief didn't catch anything but the anointing. Come on. Praise God. You know, I love when people demonstrate their faith and they bring... Let me preach, please. Let me preach. So she brings a handkerchief, and I lay hands on it and pray for the handkerchief. And you know, I'm waiting to hear the result. I'm waiting to hear the testimony because I'm believing that that lady is going to be healed of cancer. That's what I'm believing for. You know? But she was touched. She was, you know, she received a miracle. She took off her brace and she was healed. She was able to move her hand. God touched her and healed her. Isn't God powerful? Amen. And God is powerful. He's bigger and greater than any COVID. Come on. Amen. He's bigger and greater than any virus. And I know people that have been affected by COVID. I'm not saying that it's not, that it's fake. It is real. It is a pandemic. However, it has become a political weapon. Yes. It's become a lie. It's become a deceptive agenda. And the enemy is, what the enemy is doing is drowning a lot of believers. And we need to rise up. Come on. Yes. We are better than that. Come on. Amen. We need to rise up. We need to understand where the enemy is coming from. And so if we exercise, hallelujah, our giftings, and we walk with anointing oil, we're going to see miracles every day. Amen?
Amen.
The anointing oil is for you. You are anointed. You are an extraordinary person. You are chosen. You have the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the anointing oil is for you. What is the use of the anointing? The anointing oil is to reach the lost, sanctify, set aside. But I will add and say the anointing oil is for you to reach the lost. You can have all the anointing oil in the world. You can be overflowing. You can be rolling. You can be, you know, I know a lot of people that love to be holy rollers, and that's fine. The question is, are you going to keep that anointing, or are you going to give it away? Remember, you are a point of transmission. The anointing will come to you, will reach you, and you will become a hot spot. And the anointing will rest. You know, the cloud of glory is going to find a place to rest, and that's going to be you. So when you have that cloud of glory, when you're filled with the anointing, when you become a transmission point, when you become a vessel, when you become a vehicle, whatever you want to call it, when you become a catalyzer, you are that instrument that God is going to use to transport the anointing to and from. The question is, are you going to keep it, or are you going to give it away? Because a lot of people, what they do with the anointing, they just put a lid on it and they just keep their anointing. They have a supernatural experience with God. They go into their prayer closet. They have great encounters with God. They hear words. They write them down, but they never release them. You know, they have pages and pages and pages in their personal diaries of encounters and prophetic words and visions and amazing experiences and encounters that they have had with God, but they don't release them. And so the anointing is going to stop with you unless you give it away. And God has called you to be a carrier of the anointing. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
You are not just a retainer. You are a carrier. And there is a difference between a retainer and a carrier. I don't want to be a retainer. I want to be a carrier. Because if I carry the anointing, I know that I'm going to then give what I have to other people. So the anointing is going to become contagious. Praise God. I want that kind of contagious anointing, you know? I want it. I really do. I want people to feel the anointing when they're around me. I want people to feel the presence of God when they come in contact with me. Because I'm a transmission point. When they come across my path, they will feel the anointing. See, that should be your goal. That should be your desire. And that should be the kind of spiritual standard that we should all aim for. I don't just want the anointing. I want to transmit. I want to give the anointing. I want the anointing to be felt when I'm around people. Not because of my own pride. No. There is no pride. When you walk with the anointing, there is no room for pride. But because you want people to be blessed.
Right.
And you want to give your blessings. You don't just want to keep them. So the anointing is to reach the lost, to reach the brokenhearted, to heal the sick, to set the captives free. The anointing is for the lost. That's the whole purpose of having the anointing. God doesn't just want you to have fun, roll on the carpet and have a wonderful time and, you know, just enjoy the anointing and have it all to yourself. God wants you to give it to the lost. Exodus chapter 30, verse 22 through verse 25. You know, when you read that, you read the ingredients of the anointing. And I'm going to talk about the ingredients of the anointing here for a few minutes. Before we, I believe we have two sessions, so we're going to cover a lot of ground. This is God's recipe for the anointing. He required five specific ingredients for this holy anointing oil. This precious anointing oil was used to anoint the kings and priests and to consecrate those things meant to be most holy. If we examine these five ingredients, we find the recipe to living an anointed life. A life God can pour out his blessing upon and use to accomplish his will and purposes. The first ingredient of an anointing life is meekness. He said the first thing that you are to put in the anointing oil is a spice called myrrh. Myrrh is a fragrance that comes from the trunk of a camphora tree in Arabia. It's produced in the form of tears. Alcohol is added to remove any impurities, and then it is steamed. As the steam passes through the gum, it's melted into oil, and that oil becomes a perfume. So the first ingredient of that anointed life is meekness. You know, when I come in contact with anointed people, the first thing I notice is how humble they are, how meek, how relatable, how beautiful, and you know, what a beautiful personality and beautiful way of relating to people. That's the first thing I find when I meet genuine people that carry the anointing. They are meek. And if you want to give me more words for that, we can add them. What would be, you know, the meekness is a concept. What would be an equivalent word to meekness?
Humility.
How about brokenness? When you meet someone who is meek, they are broken. They are humble. There is no pride. There is no insecurity. There is no selfish behavior. There is no ulterior motive. There is nothing hiding that is going to make your, you know, spiritual radar go off, because you're going to feel so comfortable sitting in with them and just having a chat. They're so meek. Imagine Jesus. How wonderful. How beautiful it was, you know, to hang out, to spend time with Jesus. Even the children wanted to hang out with Jesus because they found him so relatable, that the children were drawn to Jesus. They were like, you know, hold on to Jesus because they wanted to spend time with Jesus. I guess he was a very charismatic guy. He was, you know, funny at times. He was humorous. He was wonderful. He was humble. He was relatable. You know, the leaders, the wealthy, the poor, everyone wanted to hang out with Jesus because he was relatable and he was meek. And when you are anointed, you will carry that. And I know some people that started like that, and unfortunately they deviated and they ended up becoming arrogant, proud. There's nothing more upsetting, and I can tell you, because you know, pride is like bad breath. You don't realize it until people point it out. It is like bad breath. You don't realize you carry it. You don't realize you have pride in you until someone will let you know, hey, you know, you got a bit of pride. You got to work on your pride. And all of us have pride. So don't tell me you don't have any pride. Because by saying that, you're admitting you have pride. Hello? Oh, I'm not proud, brother. Yes, you are not proud. You're proud of not being proud. Hello? I met this wonderful leader, pastor. He was the associate pastor at a church we attended in Dallas, and it was my first or second Sunday, and they welcomed me and acknowledged me, you know, and the pastor said, oh, why don't you stand up and tell us, you know, what the Lord has been doing. And so I had that opportunity. And then at the end of the service, this guy, you know how Texans can be. They conduct themselves in a way that is very confident, and he can come across as arrogant, you know. So this guy was tall, a tall guy. I mean tall, like 6'8". I mean really tall guy. And skinny, and he looked like a cowboy, you know. Tall, like big guy. He comes up to me, and you know, I'm not that tall, as you can see. So I'm standing, I'm looking out to him, you know, And he's got a big hand, you know, and puts his hand on me. It's like, son, we're so humbled to have you here. Like that. We're so humbled to have you here. As you know, Texas is the pride capital of the United States. I'm like, you tell me. I mean, this pride and arrogance is coming out of him. He's not even realizing it, right? Because pride is like bad breath. You don't realize it. You don't really know that you have it. You don't really know that you carry it until you open your mouth. Hello? Right? Yes. But there should be no pride when you carry the anointing. Come on, somebody. There should be no insecurity. Because when you carry the anointing, one of the ingredients of the anointing is meekness, humility, brokenness. You're going to yield to the Holy Spirit. You're going to submit your life, your plans, your dreams. And I love the fact that, you know, it's produced in the form of tears. What happens when you shed tears? You're going through cleansing. You're going through brokenness. And then it says alcohol is added to remove any impurities, and then it is steamed. Imagine that. It goes through a steaming process. Then it goes through a melting process. So in order to be meek, you have to be steamed, you have to be melted, and you have to be broken. How many of you want to be humble? How many of you want to sign up for this, the school of humility? Come on. Sign me up. You're basically signing yourself up for brokenness. You're signing yourself up for, you know, brokenness. That's what it is. And Jesus went through that. He lived a life of brokenness. There was no insecurity, no pride, no agenda. Myrrh is a beautiful picture of meekness and submission. The number one ingredient for an anointed life is meekness and submission to God's will. Meekness is not weakness, so don't let people roll you over, okay? Amen. Meekness is strength and hardness for service. I love that. Meekness is strength and hardness for service. Meekness is the raging river no longer flowing wide and wild, but submitting to the dam so that from it might come hydroelectricity. It's submitting all that you have in obedience to God. When you do that, the anointing is attracted to your life. Submission and meekness is the wild, untamed, powerful stallion submitting to the bit, the bridle, the saddle, and the tug of the reins. It's a life that is completely yielded to the Holy Spirit. Oh, I feel the anointing. Whew. Oh, I can feel the anointing. It's very strong. Lord, help us. Help us. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We want to be so broken. We want to just reflect the picture of Jesus. We want to reflect you in everything we do, Holy Spirit. Help us. Help us attain this level of humility that we must reach. Help us. Help us, God. We want to carry your anointing. So the anointing, as you know, is being submitted to the Holy Spirit. If you want to walk in the anointing, carry the anointing, you must be submitted to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has got a plan. The Holy Spirit ultimately is going to do what He wants to do. And when you are submitted to the Holy Spirit, you're going to obey. So last Wednesday, what I found is when people came forward and started praying for them, there was a point of transmission, and there was, you know, something was happening. But it was difficult. The first 10, 15 minutes, I had to pray through that spirit of fear, because a lot of people were standing there worshiping, but in the back of their mind, they were thinking about what could happen. So it was like praying in the battlefield, in the midst of the battlefield. I'm praying for people, but I'm not allowed to touch them. And then 15 minutes later, thank God and thank you, Holy Spirit. Somehow the pastor got, I don't know what happened, but he changed his mind and he got this revelation. And then he started praying for people and laying hands on people. So I saw that as the green light. I'm like, go God, here we go. I saw him praying for people, so I just went for it. And that just opened the door. You know what I'm saying? Amen. That opened the door. Because, see, the anointing has no need of that personal touch. Because God is an unlimited God. I don't have to lay hands on you for you to feel the anointing. But I become, see, it's like how can I explain it? We're magnets. So when you put two magnets together, if you have the anointing and I have the anointing and then I touch you and you touch me, that point of contact becomes the energetic force. That's where the anointing travels through, you know? But if you are hungry, even if I'm not touching you, you can feel it because there is a point of transmission and you're still receiving it. But the point of contact is so powerful. That's why God said, you know, lay hands on the sick. Lay hands. I believe in laying hands because laying hands is that point of contact. When you're releasing the anointing, when you lay hands on people, that anointing comes out of you. You don't need to lay hands on people, but if you do, you're going to see it firsthand how powerful it is. Amen? And I've had moments in the anointing where I've been standing, you know, praying for someone, and then all of a sudden that person collapses, you know? And I don't have to lay hands on them because the anointing is doing it. In fact, the first few minutes of that meeting, I was relying on the Holy Spirit. I'm like, Holy Spirit, you know I'm not allowed to lay hands on people, so you better do my job here. He was doing the job anyway. You better lay hands on people. And the Holy Spirit was literally touching people because there is no need. When you are submitted to the Holy Spirit and His plan, you're going to see the anointing flowing. I've seen people, I had a service once where I saw 300 kids fell under the power of God at the same time. Wow. It was the most beautiful picture, the most powerful picture. 300 kids in Guatemala, they were shaking, they were touched by the Holy Spirit, and they all came down at the same time. It was like a domino effect at a Christian school. It was amazing. It was a picture of revival. And then, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes later, I see all these kids crying on the floor and calling on Jesus and having revival. It was amazing. I loved it. I had services in Mexico where people lined up. And I would just, you know, release the anointing. And we had a line, that line, you know, sometimes 200 people, 300 people lining up. And it was like a domino effect. Bang, 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 bang. 300 people at the same time, like domino cards falling. That anointing happens because the anointing feeds of the anointing, you have to understand that's why people... When the anointing is connected and when you have that domino effect, it's because the anointing is feeding off the anointing. So what happens, it's like electricity. If you have electricity, that electricity will feed off another source of electricity, and that's why you have, you know, you have all strong currents of electricity. So that happens when you are joining hands, when you are praying with others and praying for others. Your anointing is feeding somebody's anointing. And that anointing is feeding somebody's anointing. And so the anointing then becomes a powerful magnetic force. Because you're all anointed here. So if we all begin to pray for one another, then what we're doing is we're feeding the anointing. And the anointing is going to become a pool of electricity. Hallelujah. That is going to cause revival. It's going to start a move of God. All we need is for the anointing to be unlocked. Because the anointing is like powerful electricity. Amen? The anointing of the Holy Spirit We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. The second ingredient, actually, if you want to write this down, the Bible says in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, that Moses was the meekest man who ever lived. He reached a place, not overnight, by the way, it took 40 years, where he understood his role was to do what God called him to do and let God deal with the consequences. He put his self-will, rebellion, and stubbornness aside and said yes to God in spite of himself. How many of you have done that before? It's not easy. When you want to get somewhere and you want to do something, and you need to put your stubborn attitudes and your stubborn, you know, will and your stubborn wantings aside. You're like, okay, God, I get it. I know. You have the last word. And even though I want to have the last word, how many of you want to have the last word? Hello? How many of you have the last word in your marriage? Hello? Don't say amen to that. We're going to need to have marriage counseling afterwards. He put his self-will, rebellion, and stubbornness aside and said yes to God. Amen. God, you need to have the last word. The last word in my ministry, my missions, my assignment, everything I do for the kingdom, I want God to lead me. Because if he's not leading me, then I'm not going anywhere. And one must be led by the Holy Spirit in the end times. I cannot stress how vital and how important it is for the people to be led by the Holy Spirit in these times. I cannot stress, we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We cannot just go by feelings, emotions, or just because we want to. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit, because you're going to find yourself in places where it's going to be so dangerous that you need to have the assurance that whatever you are doing in that assignment, in that place, is going to be blessed. Not because you went there, because God sent you there. Amen? The second ingredient of the anointing is uprightness, or how you stand. The second ingredient in the anointing oil was cinnamon. Cinnamon speaks of uprightness and good standing. Cinnamon comes from a tree that grows 30 to 40 feet, and it grows remarkably straight. It is said that this cinnamon grew so straight that it had no curves. They take the leaves and the fruit of the upright tree and squeeze them, and out of that comes the oil. They used cinnamon oil to make candles for the king. Wow. How you stand matters. Being upright doesn't mean being self-righteous. Standing on spiritual stilts, looking down at everyone else, it means standing for what is right, standing on the truth, living above reproach, but not judging those around you. Remember, meekness. When you stand upright, the anointing is attracted to your life. I love that. The anointing is attracted to your life. Meekness is going to attract the anointing. Uprightness is going to attract the anointing. So cinnamon is the second ingredient and speaks of your stance. How you're standing before the world. How you're standing in the kingdom. Are you standing upright? You know, when Daniel was given the vision and he saw the angel, and you know, he was a mess because of the anointing, because of the glory. And then the angel says, hey, Daniel, stand up. Stand upright. That's what it says. Stand upright. The angel didn't ask him to sit down. The angel didn't ask him to just lay on the floor. The angel didn't ask him to, you know, just get on his knees. The angel said, stand upright. Because standing upright speaks of a posture, you know, a kingdom posture. When you're standing upright, you're ready for battle. You're ready to embrace. You're ready to activate. You're ready to walk. You're ready to do something. You're standing upright. You're not just standing for the sake of standing. You're standing because you are ready to do something. So your uprightness, your stance, the way you are standing before others, you know, it's an amazing aspect of the anointing. Standing on the truth. Living above reproach. Thank you, Jesus. Having a good standing, having a good testimony, having a good life in Christ. Remember, we are open letters before the world. So standing upright, doing things with humility and integrity, doing things for the Lord. Cinnamon. How many of you love cinnamon? I love a cinnamon latte. How many of you love a cinnamon latte? You know, when you go to your coffee shop and you get a cinnamon latte, oh, it's so nice, right? How many of you know that cinnamon is actually a flavor or kind of a spice of this season, right? Like around the fall season, cinnamon, people talk about cinnamon, and you have cinnamon candles, and you have cinnamon latte, and you have cinnamon flavored soap, and cinnamon this and that and the other, and you walk into somebody's house who loves cinnamon, and it smells like cinnamon. Hello? Cinnamon is the smell, and you know, the anointing, hallelujah, the anointing oil has that ingredient. And so when you think of cinnamon, think of the anointing. Don't go crazy. Don't go buying, you know, cinnamon soap and cinnamon everything and, you know. But what I'm trying to say is cinnamon, it's an ingredient. It's a powerful ingredient. You know, when you mix it with the other ingredients, speaks of uprightness and good standing. What are you doing in the kingdom right now? What is your stance? How are you standing before others? Are you making a difference? Are you being a witness? Are you being a listener or are you being a doer? Are you doing what God is calling you to do or are you sitting down and just listening? Because if you have been doing that for the last 20 years, it's time to stand upright and do something for the kingdom. It's time to stand upright and take on the world. Take on the nations. Take on your calling. You're like, well, I can't do it in the midst of this pandemic. Yes, you can. You just got to have the right attitude. You got to hear from God. And, you know, God's going to give you His passport. That's all you need. You need His passport. You need His seal of approval. You need His okay. And if you have God on your side, then you're going to be fine. Amen. If you got God on your side, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, if you have God on your side, signs and miracles will follow you. Father, we thank you. We want to stand upright in this world. You know, a lot of people are compromising. A lot of people are watering down the truth. A lot of people are not living. They're not living by those kingdom standards. They're just watering down the truth. Imagine that in America right now, can I tell you something? A lot of churches are shutting down because of this pandemic. A lot of mega churches, there is a study that 1 out of 5 mega churches will shut down. 1 out of 5. 1 out of 5 is diminishing in numbers, big time. Because people can only have online revival or online services up to some degree. And then after the, you know, what do you call it? After the trend or that, yeah, the excitement of it is gone. Then people just, they don't sign up for that. And that, you know, what we have right now is a lot of church hoppers. I call them church online church hoppers. They are watching like 3 or 4 different churches at the same time on Sunday morning. Yeah. So they don't necessarily have to jump, go from one church building to another. They just go online and they just watch different services. So they're not really loyal to their church. And a lot of people are dropping. They're not going to church anymore. And they're not even attending cell groups. They're not connecting with their church. A lot of mega churches are having to cut their expenses because people are not giving anymore. I mean, this pandemic has tested and shaken everybody. And what needs to be shaken will be shaken. And that's what's happening right now. So the question is, are you standing upright in the midst of this pandemic? Are you standing upright in the midst of the storm? Are you standing upright in the midst of this shaking and this earthquake? Because the anointing is going to keep you standing. The anointing is going to give you the boldness and the fire to be a spokesperson, to be a messenger, to stand upright, to face the enemy. Don't be afraid. When you have to speak up, you need to speak up.
Amen.
You know, I just had an experience, tough experience on the plane from Brisbane to Sydney. I was being basically hackled by another passenger. And my daughters, Carrie Ellen Celeste, Carrie Ellen is 6, 7, Celeste is 2. And they're getting to that age, to that point where they can relate and they can play together as sisters. And they can make a little bit of noise sometimes. And that's understandable. You know, they're kids. And they will make noise. Because kids are good at making noises. They love making noise. I haven't met a kid that doesn't like to make noise. So anyway, my two daughters, they love to make noise when they play together. And they were getting a little bit rowdy, you know, the first 5 minutes, you know, and this passenger sitting behind them gets really upset. I think he had a couple of drinks before getting on board. So he was getting really agitated, really upset. Then he started, you know, he started cursing. And then he goes, you know, he just goes into a tirade, like, get these kids out of the plane, you know, for crying out loud. Break them apart. Sit them in different rows. Do something, you know. Anyway. So I'm sitting there as a father. I'm listening to this guy. And Rebecca and I, we just turned, like, we're looking at the guy. And both of us asked him the same question at once. Do you have kids? And he didn't want to answer that question. Do you have kids? And he just, you know, he ignored us. He didn't want to answer the question. And I just said, you know, sir, I said, you know, we can ask the flight attendant to relocate you. If you're not happy with your seat, we can, you know, we can ask the flight attendant to accommodate you. But we cannot change the circumstances. Kids make noise. That's what it is, you know, that you have to understand that they're excited, you know, and they're playing together. Oh, yeah, but I haven't heard kids making this much noise before. I'm like, oh, you haven't heard anything yet. You know, they're just making a little bit of noise. Come on, get over it. Anyway, so then he went on and then he started cursing Jesus. And so when he said that, something in my spirit, it was like God just stirred me up. Like something happened in my spirit, and the evangelist in me couldn't help it. And I raised my voice. You know, we evangelists have a microphone inside of us. We don't need microphones. So then I said, this is what I said, and it's not because I wanted to look like a self-righteous guy, but in Australia, people, especially because Australia used to be a Judeo-Christian nation, now has become more of a secular nation. So when somebody stands up and defends the gospel, people are going to be in shock. They don't expect that. They don't expect a Christian standing for their belief. They don't expect that at all. So it's going to take them aback. They're going to be like, whoa, okay, where did that come from, you know? So I basically said to him, I said, don't curse my Savior. My Savior died for your sins and he loves you. He died on the cross and he shed his blood. When I said that, a lot of the other passengers were like, shush, shush, don't preach here. You know, like they were trying to shut me down. And then the other passenger, one of the passengers, the one sitting right behind my row, because I was in a different row, He went to speak with the flight attendants. He witnessed everything, and he actually helped our cause. Because in Australia, in order to get something done, you got to have two witnesses. Not one witness, two witnesses. So the first witness, it wasn't us. It was this passenger. He actually spoke on our behalf. And he said, I want you guys to help this family. I saw everything. I witnessed. I'm telling you, this is what happened. And so the flight attendants, and they have this attitude like everybody is equal. So it's, oh, I hear that you guys are making a little bit of noise and you guys are having a bit of an argument. You know, I'm like, I'm not arguing. He's the one who started this argument. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you want to blame me for this argument? Like, seriously? I'm not arguing here. So anyway, but that's the attitude. Everybody's going to be, you know, everybody's going to get a slap in the wrist. That's the attitude. It's almost like the British attitude. Everybody's going to be told off and you just go on, you know, that kind of attitude. So the flight attendant managed the situation. And but I was glad that God gave me that opportunity to preach the gospel. And those passengers heard the gospel for the first time. We need to be bold. Amen. Father, I give you praise. I give you praise for what you're doing. I thank you for the anointing. I thank you that you are moving in this house. I thank you that we are learning so much about the anointing. I praise you, Lord God. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We know that this session, the second session, is going to be even better, Lord God. We trust you. We believe in you. And we embrace the anointing. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.